tonight, Lord, at your direction, Lord. You're the one that prompted me, that stirred my heart to have these monthly healing services. And Lord, I know that you did that not just for us to come and do a little religious exercise, but because you desire to heal your people. And we thank you that you'll do that tonight. Father, we expect it. We believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you may be seated. It's great to see you tonight. And again, this is a healing service, so we're going to get right into it. Praise God. Amen. Let me come down here. I'm used to being down here on Wednesday night, so hallelujah. Is that better?
Yes.
All right. That's better. I like it better. All right. Praise God. Throughout the Bible, we see that God has revealed His will for His people concerning sickness and disease. And when we look at what the Scripture clearly says and what it clearly teaches, we can come to only one conclusion. God wants you well. Amen. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say that. Say, God wants you well. And point at yourself and say, God wants me well. Amen. Yes, He does. Praise God. So let's look at what He said in His Word. Exodus 15:26. And He said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. You know, He told Moses when He appeared to Moses, when Moses was in the desert of Midian, and He said, I want you to go and deliver my people. I want you to go back and tell Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may worship me and serve me. And Moses said, well, who shall I say is sending me? Who shall I say sent me? What did God say? Tell them I am. I am that I am. Well, God begins to elaborate. The Lord, the I am, begins to elaborate on what He means by I am. He says, I am the Lord who heals you. In the Hebrew, it's Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer, the Lord your physician, literally. Praise God. I am the Lord who heals you. In the Bible, in basic English, he says this. He says, for I am the Lord your life giver. Isn't that good? I am the Lord, your life giver. So who is God to us? He's our life giver. He's our healer. He said, I am. They're just getting to know this God that delivered them out of Egypt. They don't know Him too well. And He says, I want you to get to know me. If you'll follow me, if you'll trust me, if you'll believe in me, and if you'll follow my word, He says, I'm going to take sickness away from you because that's what I do. I'm the Lord, your healer. I am the Lord, your healer. Praise God. And then, here again in the basic Bible, in basic English, He says, I'm the Lord, your life giver. Well, that agrees perfectly with what Jesus said in John 10:10 in the New Testament. Here's what Jesus said in John 10, in verse 10. The thief, who's that? Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus contrasting that with what His purpose was. He said, I have come that they may have what?
Life.
Well, that sounds like a life giver to me. In Exodus, God says, I am the Lord, your life giver. Here Jesus in John 10 says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus came to give us life. Yes, spiritual life. Yes, eternal life. But at the same time, He came to give us life to our bodies, health to our bodies. As He tells them here, I'm the Lord, your life giver. That was pertaining to their physical health. Amen? Praise God. All right. Let's go back to Exodus in chapter 23. In Exodus 23 and verse 25, this is in the New International Version. Worship the Lord your God, as opposed to worshiping idols. You know, they had been used to they were around all the nations that were worshiping idols. And He said, you don't get involved in that. You worship me. You follow me, He says. Worship the Lord your God, and His blessing will be on your food and water. And then He says this, I will take away sickness from among you. I will take away sickness from among you. And none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you what? A full lifespan. Hallelujah. That means long life. That means I'm going to keep you well. I'm going to take sickness away from you so that you'll live a long life. This is God revealing His intention. This is God revealing His desire. This is God revealing His will to His people that He's just delivered out of the land of Egypt, and that's His will for His people today.
Amen.
Amen. He hasn't changed. God wants you well. Amen. Say it again. God wants me well. Again, turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you well. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Let's go on to the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, that's where I'm reading now in my Bible reading. And where Moses, just before he goes, just before he passes and goes to heaven, or wherever he went back then, Abraham's bosom, I guess. No, he didn't. Sure looked up. Wait, you mean Moses didn't go to heaven? Well, that's another subject for another message. All right. He went to where the good people go. We'll put it that way. All right. But just before he went, he was recounting everything to the children of Israel, reiterating everything about them, everything important that he needed to leave with them about the Lord. And he made sure he included this in Deuteronomy 7, verse 14. He said, "You should be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock." And in verse 15, "And the Lord will take away from you," what? All sickness. The Lord will take away from you what?
All
sickness. Hallelujah. So what will He do with it? He said He'll take it away. He'll take it away from you. All sickness, He said He'll take it away from you. Praise God. From His people. From us, from me. Amen? That means He wants to take sickness away from you. Amen? Praise God. Who will do that? The Lord will. That's what the Lord does. Hallelujah. He wants to take away all sickness from us. He wants us well. Can you see that? God wants us well. In the NIV, it says it this way. It says, "The Lord will keep you free from every disease." The Lord will keep you free from every disease. Does that mean that is there any disease then that God would say, "Well, boy, you know, that didn't make the list. I'm sorry, you're going to have to deal with that one. You're going to have to suffer." I mean, after all, it is hereditary. You can't do anything about that. Every disease. Amen? Whether it's hereditary, whether it... the doctors say it's incurable. Every disease, the Lord will keep you free from every disease. Amen? Let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 in verse 2. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives," what? "All your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." Does God want you forgiven? Huh? He does, doesn't He? That's why He made provision for it. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why Jesus shed His blood so we could be forgiven. Why does God want us forgiven? Because He doesn't want to stay separated from us. Our sin separated us from Him. But God loved us so much, He didn't want that wall of separation. That wall of separation was our sin, and we didn't have the power. We didn't have the ability to do anything about it, to break down that wall. And so God said, "I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to break down that wall. I'm going to send my Son. I'm going to send Jesus. Jesus is going to come. He's going to pay the price for our sin. He's going to shed His blood so that wall of separation can be broken down so we can be reconciled back to God." That's what it tells us in 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. That this ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting our sins against us. Amen. Praise God. So God wants us forgiven. Why? So we can be in relationship with Him. So that He can walk and talk with us. You know, He came down and walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before they sinned. And he came down to do that, you know, after they sinned. And he said, "What? Where are you?" And they were hiding. That wall was up. That separation was up. But he did something about it. Amen. Hallelujah. He wants us forgiven so we can walk with him, so we can fellowship with him. So really, so he can live in us now. Amen. Praise God. And then it's, so he says he forgives. He says he forgives all your iniquities. Let's get verse 3 back up there, Curtis. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. So first of all, is there any iniquity? Is there any sin that God won't forgive, that God can't forgive? There's not, is there? There's not. No matter what that sin is, the blood of Jesus was sufficient to wash it away. No matter what you've done, if you ask God to forgive you, he forgives you. And the blood of Jesus washes that sin away. Amen. And is there any sickness? Is there any disease that's too great that he cannot heal? No, it says he heals in the same way that he forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. And in the same way, he wants us forgiven so we can fellowship with him and walk with him. In the same way, he wants us healed. He wants us well. God wants you well. Amen. Turn to your neighbor one more time and tell him. What are you going to tell him? God wants you well. Amen. Turn, point to yourself again and say, God wants me well. Amen. Amen. Praise God. In Psalm 107, verse 17, it says, "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near the gates of death." Then, when they were in that bad situation, they're sick, they're afflicted, and their own folly, their own transgression landed them in that condition. And then then in verse 19, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And he said, "Well, you're just getting what you deserve." Is that what he said? No, when they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, the Bible says he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And verse 21 says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Even those who had sinned, even those... Now, not every sickness, as we're going to see in some other scriptures we'll look at, not every sickness is a result of sin. But, you know, there are times where we can open the door. And it doesn't mean God's punishing you if you're sick. Well, that means God, they must have done something bad. God's punishing you. No, it's not that God's punishing you, but there are things that we can do to open up the door through our disobedience where the devil can come in and attack us. But even in that, when we cry out to the Lord, when we cry out to the Lord in our trouble, hallelujah, he's merciful. It says he will save us out of our distresses. He'll send his word and heal us. Why? Because God wants you well. He wants you well. Hallelujah. Forgiveness and healing go hand in hand. You know, Jesus on the cross, it says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. Amen? Peter, quoting that, it says he bore our sins in his own body on the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Amen? So forgiveness and healing go hand in hand. Back in Psalm 103, we read that. He forgives all of our iniquities and he heals all of our diseases. Praise God. And then we see in the New Testament that healing and forgiveness go hand in hand as well. Remember the man that was paralyzed and his four friends brought him to Jesus? And Jesus looked at him and what did he say? "Son, your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees got upset about that. Well, who does he think he is? Who can forgive sins? You know, only God can do that. And then he said, which is easier then? To say your sins are forgiven or to say rise up and walk? And he says, so that you'll know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sin. He looked at the paralyzed man and said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the man was healed. Amen. So Jesus put forgiveness and healing together, didn't he? Amen. And in the book of James, we see James puts it together. In James 5 and verse 15, it says, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, what? He will be forgiven. Praise God. Amen. And let's go back to Psalm 107 for a minute. Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for what? For his goodness. Everybody out there? Give thanks to the Lord for what? For his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So healing, what healing is a manifestation of the goodness of God. That's what the psalmist is saying here. He says, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that as he considers that, as he considers what God has done, he said, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. It's the goodness of God that brings healing to us. Healing is a manifestation of God's goodness. The New Testament, again, witnesses to that with what Peter is speaking, it's recorded in Acts 10 and verse 38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about what? Doing good and healing. Everybody say doing good and healing. Hallelujah. He went about doing good and healing who? All who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. In other words, God was authorizing him to do that. God was anointing him to do that. God was empowering him to do that. To do what? To heal all that were oppressed by the devil. Why? Because God wants you well. God wants you well. Can there be any doubt? Can there be any? There shouldn't be any doubt among us that God wants us well. Praise God. Let's do it. I think we need to do it one more time. Turn to your neighbor. You know what to say to him. Tell him. Amen. And say it to yourself. God wants me well. Amen. Praise God. All right. So healing is good. It's a manifestation of God's goodness. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing what? Every sickness and every disease among the people. Hallelujah. Jesus went about, this is the ministry of Jesus. This is what Jesus was about. This is what Jesus was doing. It says he went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Why did it says that Jesus went about healing every sickness and every disease among the people, and he looked out at the multitude and he had compassion on them. Why? Because when Jesus was on this earth, he was limited to a physical body. He could only be in one place at one time. He wanted everybody to be healed. He wanted to be able to get to everyone. Hallelujah. Why? Because God wants us well. Amen. And that's why he prayed. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he send out laborers into his harvest. If you keep reading and get into chapter 10, that's where he calls the 12 together. And the Bible says he gives them power over unclean spirits and power to heal sickness and disease. And they went out. And then later on, he commissioned 70 others to go and do the same thing. Why? Because God wants us well. Amen. Hallelujah. There's what Jesus said about himself and about his own ministry in John 6 and verse 38. He says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So everything that Jesus did was an expression and a revelation of the will of God the Father. Everything that he did, he said, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. So when Jesus healed the sick, it's because he saw the Father doing that. It's because it was the Father's will. It's because it was the Father's desire. And we never, ever, ever, there's not one verse in the New Testament, in the Gospels, not one place where you see Jesus putting sickness on anyone. And there's not one verse in the New Testament where you see Jesus refusing to heal anyone.
That's right.
Not one time. God wants us well. Amen. God wants you well. God wants me well. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to John chapter 9 and we'll wrap up the teaching part of this here in this passage. In John chapter 9, it says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, they had it on their minds that, okay, somebody sinned here, you know, to cause this man to be born blind. Was it his parents? Did they sin? And as a result of their sin, then their child was born blind? Or did the man sin somehow? Did God know that sometime in the future he would sin? So God just went ahead and punished him for that and made him blind? That's the kind of skewed reasoning that his disciples were operating with there. Did this man sin or his parents that he was born blind? Verse 3, Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. And there really should be a period right there. You know, when the New Testament was translated out of Greek and into English, there's no punctuation in the Greek. And the words themselves are their own punctuation in the Greek language, but it's not so in English. And so it lends people to the interpretation of this. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. In other words, people have interpreted that then to mean, okay, the man didn't sin, his parents didn't sin, but God just went ahead and made him sick so Jesus could come along and heal him. It's like God the Father set this up on the tee, you know, for Jesus to knock it out of the park. Okay, son, I'm going to help you out. I know you need some help here. I know we need to get some healings working here so we can increase your popularity. I'm going to go ahead and make this man blind so you can come along and heal him, and people think that you're just amazing when we do that. That's kind of the reasoning that goes into it. God made him sick, so that totally violates the principle that Jesus said when he said, every kingdom divided against itself will fall. If God's making them sick and Jesus is healing them, that means the kingdom of God is divided. And we know the kingdom of God is not divided. Amen. Let's read it this way. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, period. But that the works of God should be revealed in him, comma, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Let's keep reading. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, what did he say? He said, we need to work the works of God. I need to work the works of him who sent me while it is day, while I can, while I have the opportunity. I need to work the works of him who sent me. And remember, Jesus said, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Well, who sinned, Jesus, this man or his parents? Neither one. He said, let's do the work. Let's let the works of God be revealed in him. I must work those works. And he comes along then, verse 6, when he had said these things, that he's going to do the works of God, he spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, anointed the eyes of the blind men with the clay, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Amen. In other words, Jesus healed the man. Jesus made him whole. Jesus healed him. Yes. We don't have any record there, do we? Mm-hmm. We don't have any record that the man asked for healing there. And so there are healings, of course, we know, that God initiates. In John chapter 5 as well, the man laying at the Pool of Bethesda. Pool of Bethesda was on one side of Jerusalem, Pool of Siloam at the other side, kind of diagonally across from each other. And so we see Jesus initiating a healing there with the man at the Pool of Bethesda. Do you want to get well? And the man says, I don't have anybody to put me in the water. Jesus said, you don't have to wait for that. Rise, take up your bed and walk. So there are healings that Jesus initiates, and this seems to be one of them. All right? So again, the disciples are asking why, and Jesus said, that's not important. See, sometimes asking why is a distraction and will lead you out of faith and into doubt. That's worth writing down. Sometimes asking why is a distraction. Now, I'm not going to be exclusive and say you should never ask. There are things we can learn. There are things, adjustments we may need to make at different times. But sometimes asking why will lead you, it can be a distraction, and it will lead you out of faith and into doubt. Amen? So if you ask why and you don't get an answer, then just don't worry about it and just go on forward and believe God. Amen. Praise God. All right. Let's read it out of the Message. I like the way it reads in the Message. His disciples ask, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, causing him to be born blind? Look at Jesus' response in verse 3. Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. You're asking the wrong question. You know, if you're going to ask why, then make sure you're asking the right question. Amen. In this case, they were asking the wrong question. You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause and effect here. Look instead for what God can do. Amen. And then what happened? Jesus proceeded to heal the man. He said, let's look and see what God can do. Okay. The man's blind. He needs to be healed. Let's look and see what God can do. Amen? Why? Because God wants us well. Every time. Every time. Without exception, God wants you well. God wants you whole. God wants you healed. Amen? Praise God. And so I want to, you know, I believe that God confirms His Word. Like I said, I know that He put it on my heart for us to begin to have these healing services once a month on Wednesday night. And so God wants you well. So if you need healing, we're not just going to talk about healing, we're going to minister healing. If you need healing tonight, you can receive your healing. Praise God. So if you need healing for anything, then I want you to stand up and I want to minister to you through the laying on of hands, through the anointing with oil. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. If you need healing, stand up. I want to minister to you. Praise God. Make your way down here if you can. Praise the Lord. Robert, you come on up and help me. You can stand on either on this side of the platform or on this side over here, either one. Those of you on this side, y'all come on and stand right here. Praise the Lord. Come on, brother. Come on, Brother Israel. Come on up. Right here. We got a spot for you right here. Come right here, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you and we praise you for your healing power. Lord, I thank you. I'm asking you, Father, to confirm your word. Father, I've told the people that it's your will for them to be well. I know that it is, Father. I know that I've told the truth. I know that I've borne a true witness of you, of your heart, and of your desire, Father, for your people. And Father, I ask you now, confirm your word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Confirm your word by healing your people right now, Father. We thank you for it. We praise you in the name of Jesus.